How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. In January of 1966, Martin Luther King Jr. moved to the North Lawndale neighborhood in Chicago to fight against racist real estate practices in the city, and other people continue his work. My colleague Nicole Janine Johnson reports Dr. King's work here in Chicago laid the foundation for the Fair Housing Act that passed a week after his assassination. Advocacy organizations like Lawndale Christian Development Corporation provide quality, affordable housing for local residents, and Richard Townsell is the executive director.
And so we've kind of picked up that mantle. We have a lot more tools in our tool belt than we had at that time, like low-income housing tax credits or new market tax credits. None of those things existed when Dr. King was alive. That does not say that the problem is better.
Townsell says the wage gap is a barrier to housing justice. A new report from Illinois public health officials say people who are homeless are expected to die nearly 20 years earlier than people who are housed. People who are homeless also visit the hospital more often. They're also more likely to die from drug overdose, traumatic injuries, or excessive cold. The report makes several recommendations, including conducting an assessment of how accessible warming centers are around the state of Illinois. Some small business owners across the Chicago area closed up shop today as part of a general strike to protest immigration enforcement across the country. Ozzie Gomez owns a coffee shop and plant store in Chicago's Albany Park neighborhood. He immigrated to the U.S. 25 years ago, and he says today is more than just a protest.
It's just a show of love that, you know, we still believe in the American dream, and we still believe that this nation can provide for so many.
Some business owners say instead of closing, they're donating to immigrant rights organizations. 40 years ago this week, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded shortly after liftoff. One of the seven crew members on board was Kristen McAuliffe, a civilian teacher who was chosen after a nationwide search. McAuliffe's death changed the way the public understands spaceflight forever. In 1985, not long before the Challenger disaster, my former colleague Jim Nader spoke with McAuliffe about how she tries to help her students understand the impact normal people can have on history.
That's one of the links that I try to get my students to think about, no matter what social studies course they're taking, is that they are a viable part of the United States, they're a viable part of their community, and hopefully that they get this link that as ordinary people they do make a contribution.
McAuliffe's alternate for the mission, Barbara Morgan, flew to space aboard the Space Shuttle Endeavour in 2007. You're listening to The Rundown. A new essay collection visits the places that shape Midwestern literature. Lingering Inland, a literary tour of the Midwest, features prose about the neighborhoods and spots that inspired some regional writers. And my colleague, contributor Adora Namigade, has this report.
I'm on the corner of Torrance Avenue and Pulaski Road in Calumet City. People may drive by this corner and not even notice it, but it inspired not one, but two writers from the area. Today, I'm walking the neighborhood with Eva Tomasula y Garcia. She's a community organizer turned writer.
I want them to know that this is Calumet region, Cal City, southeast Chicago, northwest Indiana, has an incredible history, not just of waste extraction, but of resistance and a kind of continuing of life that is just in this landscape.
She has a passion for helping people understand the rich complexity of Calumet City. And so does Jose Olivares. His poetry helped her more deeply appreciate Calumet City, where her father is from.
I really love Olivares' poetry because it brings a different angle to Calumet region, a kind of gritty, industrialized face of the reality of life for black and brown, for immigrant, for people that really make up so much of this region that kind of gets glossed over in the kind of national imaginary of what the Midwest is.
The new anthology, Lingering Inland, puts Calumet City in a whole new light through the eyes of both writers. In the book, Garcia talks about her lighthearted memories of jumping up and down to keep warm at the bus stop and biting into cheesy gorditas. she tackles impacts of white flight on that community. In Olivares' poetry, he talks about the fragility of the American dream. His parents did all the, quote, right things, but their home lost value after the steel mills closed and the neighborhood changed. Here, he talks about how he thought he would have to leave his hometown to become an artist.
So if I had this idea growing up that if I wanted to be an artist, I would have to leave Calumet City. I would have to, at the very least, move to Chicago to be a real artist. That Calumet City was not a place where art could happen. And I think what I've learned over the many years that I've been a writer is that art and literature belongs to everyone and can happen everywhere.
But Olivares says with all the cultural attention major coastal cities like Los Angeles and New York City get, people don't expect great art to come from such humble, Rust Belt places.
To think that my writing has connected with people and has inspired people to pay attention to a place like Calumet City and to really examine it and continue to think of it not just as a place where literature can happen, but as a place that is continuing to live and thrive and that possibilities are real there. It just blows my mind.
Every essay in Lingering Inland highlights the writer's personal experience of the places covered in Midwestern literature. Editor Andy Aller says the collection is like a road trip.
So you go sort of from one place to the next, and the contributors have written about all different kinds of places. It could be author houses, grave sites, it could be the remains of houses, all different kinds of stuff, schools.
He says one of the most meaningful things humans can do is make and share our connections to place. And that's Garcia's goal in helping people really see Calumet City.
This is a region that is stereotyped as the Rust Belt, but you pick apart any stereotype and it falls apart. What is life actually like? How could it be otherwise?
She says there's creativity in the landscape too, if you have the eyes to see it. In Calumet City, for WBEZ, I'm Adora Namigadde.
Weather, a winter storm warning is in effect until midnight. Travel could be very difficult at times near whiteout conditions and snow falling at 1 to 2 inches per hour. And then after midnight, it's a winter storm watch until noon on Saturday. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thanks for listening.